This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Of all these opinions, this is the one that continues to blindside me, dumbfound me, gobsmack me, thunderstrike
me. Just blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
This is the Overreaction Podcast. I am Chase. With me, as always, my man Cody. You can find us on X at TrophyChaseTFDR, at CodySmithTFDR. And as always, make sure you are tapped into DestinationDevy.com, where you can get access to all of the war tools, the Trinity Tracker, all of the fun stuff, that some of the stuff we're going to dive into today. But make sure you are part of there so that you can improve your game with the Destination Devy tools. And make sure you're part of the Destination Devy community over at patreon.com/allgas. And if you are in that Heisman tier and Destination 5 tier, you will get nonstop access to all the content creators in there. There's additional content as well that's dropped daily, whether that's the morning drives, whether that's just additional AMAs, film sessions, fun things like that. So make sure you are part of the community, patreon.com/allgas. And there's an incredible draft stream coming up here too. So if you are part of Underdog and you want to be part of this community and really integrate yourself into this, go over to Underdog, use code DDD to enter yourself into all of the giveaways that we're going to have on that draft stream. Autograph memorabilia, whether that's jerseys, cards, Heisman tiers. There's going to be roster reviews given out, tons of fun free stuff available. So again, code DDD over at Underdog. Anything I'm missing here, Cody? Got a fun stream to dive into.
I don't believe so. I mean, obviously, if you want to get into that Heisman tier and just chop it up with us like we're going to, I mean, this is going to be a pretty loose and free-flowing one after we get through a little bit of a data for the first half of this one, kind of like we did last week, a little bit of a data dive, and then it's just going to be kind of a free-flowing conversation about where do we go from here, because it's a shifting landscape, and it's we'll just jump right into it. It's how we have been playing pretty much solely for the last couple of years here, since we really started ever talking to each other, really developed kind of the strategy that we both employed, at least within the startup game. And even we've just tried to perpetually go into this win now build. And that's what we've done in probably 50, 80% of startups that we've done during that time. And we've had decent success with it in building these really good teams. We obviously took down Royal Rumble back to back, kind of using the same strategy. I was just a year later in the build than you went in for it in year one. I kind of employed it in year two, but this win now strategy has been really successful, and it's been successful off of the back of a lot of the wide receivers that we have seen that are now getting to a little bit of a questionable age. And so we'll dive right into those guys. We've tried to really build around this group of what I call these core seven or so wide receiver aged veterans now. And that's going to be your Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, and Tyreek Hill. I mean, these guys have been staples of the wide receiver position for the last 3 or 4 years. And we'll get into the data explaining that they are very much so the guys that have been producing at a consistent rate over this last 4 years. It's been pretty incredible what they have shown.
And I think the big thing to kind of think about here, and this is something that we have done perpetually. Yes, we may draft a certain way, and we make trades to build around these players. Sometimes you're able to just go in, and like a lot of times it was very easy to just go into a startup and just draft some of these guys because they were devalued because of their age or community sentiment or the fear of falling off, those types of things. And we've seen over the past couple of years that just hasn't happened. But the realistic thing is, you know what, as with all of football or anything that you do, eventually there's a fall off. And we've kind of talked about the age 28 cliff, or that's where what a lot of people have denoted as, like, that's the time to get out on players. Age 28 years old, they should still have some value, but are you leaving something on the table? So we're going to dive into some of the stats here. Again, these are the core wide receivers we wanted to look at, because the wide receiver landscape in general, it's kind of what drives fantasy right now, even Superflex. Like, yes, there's still the quarterbacks, and there's still quarterback data that matters, but the wide receiver landscape is how people have won and how people have been able to find top 12 finishes later in drafts or even cheap for trade. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, talking about Adam Thielen in years past. You know, you have some of these guys that just didn't have a whole lot of value that you could acquire and add some significant points to your team. So let's just dive right in. Cody, take me where you want to take me there and just shoot from the hip. Let's see, this is going to be like you said, this is going to be a real improv kind of episode with some kind of questions going back and forth, thought process as we do this, because this is a big, important thing to both of us, not only as the teams we've currently built, but as we look at startups this offseason, like how are we going to build going forward?
Definitely. All right. So let's get right into the data of what we actually pulled here. And so I went back through the last 4 years of fantasy points per game production through fantasy data and in a PPR standard scoring format. I pulled anybody who scored a top 12 wide receiver for the year in fantasy points per game in a PPR format. Minimum of 9 games for everything that we're doing here. So we're going to see some guys like Mike Williams was in there once, but he only played 3 games. Doesn't count. Doesn't affect the data set. We're trying to keep this as pure as possible. And so going forward, minimum of 9 games, top 12 wide receivers that produced in fantasy points per game in the PPR format. So over the course of the last 4 years, just right off the bat, absolutely crazy stat. It feels like there's only been 25 unique players to hit a top 12 season. Over 4 years, that's 48 attempts, and 25 of those have been the same player. So typically these guys are doing it multiple times over and over and over again. And we've seen that with a lot of guys. I mean, Justin Jefferson has done it every single year he's been in the league so far. These wide receivers typically keep producing at the same rate if they are elite. And that's why we've kind of shifted this landscape into a wide receiver heavy format versus a running back that has a lot of turnover at the high elite producing level positions. And so this is what we're looking at the last 4 years of data. We're looking at 25 wide receivers who have produced a top 12 fantasy finish in points per game. Now, the last group of 28 age Cliff players has contributed to produce into their 30s. Those are the guys that we've talked about at the beginning, those 7 wide receivers that we've really, really built these teams around. Of the players that are now over 30 years old, which includes all of those guys, over the players that are now over 30, it also includes in that list is Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, and Tyler Lockett. Those players that are over 30 years old now have produced for 23 of the past 48 top 12 finishes. So just about half of all top 12 finishes over the last 4 years have been produced by wide receivers that are now over 30 years old. Only 6 of those wide receivers produced a top 12 season over the age of 30. So this range where everybody thought it was a wide receiver cliff of 28 years old, in all reality, it really ended up, at least over the last 4 years, being 30 years old. And that window that we were targeting this entire time, it just played out perfectly, was this 28 to 30 year window where everybody was hitting consistent top 12 wide receiver finishes and producing elite for your team.
And the reason why we want to look at this, and of course, the thing that really stands out to me is only 6 have occurred after the age of 30.
Six of 48.
Or yeah, yes. I mean, however you want to look at it. Yeah. Keenan Allen last year, Mike Evans last year, and then what, Julio Jones back in 2020. There's 3 of them. And then you had 2022, you had Keenan Allen again. Dude just doesn't stop. DeAndre Hopkins in 2022.
And then Keenan Allen one more time in 2021. Those years 6 times. So Keenan Allen's produced 3 of them. Well, over the age of 30.
Just kidding.
And by all of these ages, it is age at the beginning of the season. I use September 1st as the date that they were, you know, roughly starting the season.
Now, this doesn't mean that none of these players have had value. Obviously, when you're looking at how you build your team, yes, wide receiver 12 through 24 matters. You need wide receiver 2s on your team. You need wide receiver 3s on your team. But the big thing here is, how can you find yourself true elite difference makers at a value price in order to truly help you win a title? And this is where this is that range of player you were able to find. Keenan Allen was he's been on discount ever since his hamstrings acted up. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, ever since he, you know, I guess essentially left Houston, everyone kind of wrote him off like, he's at the back half of his career. What are you going to do in Arizona? What's this going to look like in Tennessee? All that fun stuff. So DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Lockett, he only did it once, and that's the thing. Is that this was 4 years ago. You're looking at some of these guys. Tyler Lockett only did it once, but he's hitting there in that 31, 32-year-old range now. All of these guys that have done it before are hitting a true, I would just call it retirement age. Like, literally any of these guys at any point in time, not right now, not here as we record this on March 25th, but any season could be it. I mean, that's terrifying for a lot of my dynasty rosters right now.
It's that true age cliff that we've been waiting for with these guys. It's the one that a lot of people started to try to predict early, and it just hasn't happened. So it now becomes what is the shift? Because unless you want to tell me that all of the only ones that actually produced top 12 seasons last year, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, and Tyreek Hill. Now, Tyreek, I don't have any issues with, but he's already hinted at early retirement things as well. So there's always that attributes into it. Stephon Diggs was right there on the edge. Davante Adams as well. But unless you want to tell me that these guys are going to keep producing like that, once they do drop back down, I mean, we've seen it this year with Stephon Diggs already going now in what, the seventh, eighth round of ADP and startups currently?
Yeah.
701. So he's all the way down to the seventh round just because of 1 year and all of the saga that typically kind of surrounds Stephon Diggs. I know there's some other stuff that does attribute to that, but these guys, once they stop producing, like this is the fear. Once you buy into these guys, you're basically riding them out into the dirt, because once they stop producing, there's no value left inherently with them.
So we'll circle back to some of these names, because there's still a high probability that all of these guys, the Cooper Kupps, the Mike Evans, Diggs, Tyreek, Keenan Allen, all of these guys could still produce top 12 finishes again this year. There have been people saying like, oh, maybe Stephon Diggs took a step back towards the second half of the year, and maybe this is his winding down. And Keenan Allen, it's only a matter of time. Like, realistically, though, there is still a possibility that these guys can have those top 12 finishes. So I want to move on from them for a minute here, and I want to move into really the next year, because we're looking at all of the players that have truly finished top 12 over the last 4 years, and there's kind of a gap. And I think that's the thing to kind of note here, is like, these are all players that are 30 plus. After that tier, you have, and this is all going by current age or age going into 2024, you have Calvin Ridley, Debo, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. I'm going to stop there. That's taking you from the age 26, almost 27 for DK, all the way to 29, almost 30 for Calvin Ridley. And that tier has only had two players that have actually had recurring wide receiver one seasons.
And not even recurring. There's only been one who's actually done it two times in a row.
That's
but
right.
there is only two who have actually ever done it twice at all. Those two are Debo Samuel back in 2021 and this last year in 2023. And then AJ Brown has done it three times every year except for 2021.
And so there's no one in 95 that's done it. That was a big kind of big point out. Like, you have an entire year where age wise, there's a gap, but there's not a lot of consistency. You know, we saw the one season from Godwin, and these guys have all been very, very good NFL receivers, but for fantasy purposes, you know, they're top 24 guys. You know, that's kind of what they've been, maybe top 36, depending on how you feel about Deontay. You can kind of stretch that one back out, but he's at least has a fresh scenery. Whether that's good or bad, we're about to find out. However, like, that's that tier of guys. You know, same thing with even DK. Like, he's a quote unquote true alpha, but for fantasy purposes, he's only produced the one top 12 finish for us, and that was 4 years ago. So it's kind of an in between range where, like, I don't see the aging out of some of these guys all of a sudden being taken over by, oh yeah, Debo's just going to pop right up, and DJ Moore and DK Metcalf. Like, it's just the natural progression. They're just going to take over the fantasy world, and that's just what's going to be the case. I mean, if anything, you look at the next tier as really where our alphas may come from, and that's going to be Puka Nacua, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Nico Collins, and Jalen Waddle are in there as well. But that's really, I mean, that's the end of list right there. But that's your next tier. That's your youth tier. And I just want to get your kind of thoughts here. When it comes to, forget the old guys, what are your thoughts on this mid-range group and then the youth movement that's kind of come into the league?
Exactly. So if we were to try to take what we've been doing for the last couple of years and really start to play this forward, this is where the death of the wide receiver, at least the death of the win now build for us as it's existed, this is where the death comes from, because you would try to go back in now to another set of aged veteran wide receivers who are discounted but still producing. The issue is, so let's target that 28 to 30 range coming in here, and you mentioned those names. It's Calvin Ridley, Deebo Samuel, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson. Now, do you think that there is any degree of stability that those guys are going to produce top six, top 12 finishes year over year? There's not, because they haven't been doing it. It'd be an outlier season if they did do it. The best one that we really have is that Deebo Samuel that you can really probably buy low. And I don't even know if there's that much of an age discount on Deebo right now.
Deebo, everyone's just scared that he's eventually going to break. Like, that's the whole thing with Deebo. Like, they're not worried about the age. It's like, okay, can he take the abuse for one more season?
Exactly right. And so he's had the injury concerns that have kind of popped up with him as well. So when you really only have four guys that even fit into this data set that we've had, these seven guys that have been consistently producing for us, they aren't even in the same ballpark of the number of times that they've hit those top 12 wide receiver seasons. They definitely don't really project to do it again this year either. And so where do you have to go? Because you don't have that discount that you can do, because the build then becomes you can build through an elite quarterback or an elite running back, maybe like one hammer lock wide receiver that still has some youth in him, and then backfill it the next like five rounds with all of these guys. When you were looking at the past couple of years of ADP, now you can still get those aged guys, but what does it really look like whenever you try to build this into an entire conglomerate of a team? The upside for points just isn't really there, unless you do go back into a group that could fall off the cliff any single day now, it seems, just historically from the data. And so you do almost kind of have to pivot down if you want this elite producing wide receiver that's going to hold intrinsic value. You have to pivot down to this new young group of all these guys who are 25 and under, or 25 and a half and under. And that's your top five in the market almost right now, which is CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra, and Chase. And then Puka's right outside of that right now. You legitimately have to pay up to have what looks like any consistent production within this tier range right now.
And it's you mentioned a few things that kind of stood out, because this is, again, this is how we like to build. And year over year, we were able to always cycle. You know, I'm looking at quarterback position. You could cycle down and you could find yourself another aging vet that's in that wide receiver, or sorry, QB2 range, and kind of just perpetually find a new one. There's always a new few every single year that you're like, okay, that's a value guy who's going to have a starting gig, have a good shot at producing for fantasy, very good best ball quarterback, willing to take the shot on. You can still see that tier today. Running back, same kind of concept. You can still see that aging group. And this is really where the killer comes in, is like, all right, when you're looking at wide receiver, you have to make a shift, because there's just not going to be that group. Obviously, I still want that aging, you know, Hill, Evans, Cup, Adams. I still want some of those guys. But to build purely around them is terrifying. So a couple things I wanted to kind of throw at you here. Obviously, we prefer auction startups. Yes, I know a majority of people do Snake as well. So we want to talk to both of this, and I just kind of want to pick your brain. So we've been talking a little bit about Snake and just kind of the back and forth of how you can still kind of build that, still grab a couple young guys, but maybe grab your aging vets in round 7, 8, 9, 10. And it's still possible to do that. But in terms of auction, you have more flexibility to buy some of these players. So I'm just kind of curious, as of today, if you wanted to build win now, are you still doing it through the draft? I just want to start open like that. Are you still doing it through the draft?
I mean, if you're building win now, you have to do it through the draft. There's no other real way you can do it, right? You have to win year one. Like, that's the overall goal, is to really build year one. So I think you got to give me the format, because I do think that there's two different ways. My immediate brain goes to, I'm not saying I have the answers, because this is a new thing for
us.
I think it's going to be a developing thing for us throughout the rest of the season, because like, we know there's a problem. Now, what's the answer that we all pivot to? I don't know exactly what that is yet. I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning experience and a new kind of age that we have to move into here. So where do we want to start? Do we want to start Snake format? Do we want to start auction format?
So let's keep it Snake, because that's where we initially started the conversation, because I think Auction will have a whole different kind of synopsis. So let's do Snake Draft. We're going to keep the format itself, 12 team super flex. We're going to go start 11 and best ball, tight end premium 175 as always. But we are focusing best ball. We've predominantly been best ball focused for our fantasy life. So let's keep it that way. Let's start with the snake thoughts and just really looking at ADP. Where are you pivot? Like, what is your move at this point? Because, I mean, early on, you can obviously take quarterbacks still early. You can still take two quarterbacks. I mean, Burrow is still there in the late parts of the first. Right now, Herbert's even fallen. A-Rich is still there. And then when you loop back around in the second, you still have guys like Kyler, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, all still available, not to mention the rookies, Brock Purdy, too. All of them would be going in that late second to third round range. So you can build some quarterbacks, but you miss out a lot on wide receivers. So what are you doing here if you're looking at the snake format?
Also, before we get into this, we do just have to specify, we want to play Auction. Like, snake is there, but we would like, it's so much easier and better doing it at Auction, because there's a massive difference if you get the 101. Like, I can give you a whole scenario if I got the 101, and then I can do something completely different of how I built this. But going with snake, I'm gonna lean in pretty heavily. I think the way that I'm gonna try to get this thing is leaning into two heavy wide receiver builds off the bat. I think I'm going to punt the QB position. We already do this in Auction formats where we just play this floater range QB. And I don't do it as much in lineups, just because it feels like you need a little bit more of that stability. The options dry up whenever you're in snake a little bit faster, but you're looking at that. And we gave you the five wide receivers that we really think are like locked and loaded. And now everybody's going to say that you've got another locked in three guys who could consistently produce top 12 seasons coming in this year. Maybe you do. I'm not going to put them there yet. I still hate rookies. We're not changing that brand. So what I want to do here, I really actually do want to try to get probably, I would actually trade back a little bit in the draft if I did get a high slot. And I'll trade back into the wide receiver range, and I'll try to get two of the top five in the first two rounds. I think right now that's my best path forward strategy that I've developed in trying to beat this thing and just say, hey, these are going to be my wide receivers that I'm going to trust to consistently give me top 12 wide receiver producing seasons. I'm just going to lean in and take them now because I don't know where else I'm getting them.
Yeah. For snake wise, like, obviously know your tiers. Like, when you look at this, when you look at some ADP, you can kind of figure out where some tier breaks are and where you want to be without trading. Like, in my honest opinion, I'm taking QB first round, and then I do want to try and lock myself up a Jefferson, Lamb, obviously Chase, Amon-Ra. Like, they're probably all going to be out of the realm of possibilities because they're all going late first, maybe early second. So you're looking at Puka. Do you want to build around Marv? Do you want to take a shot on, you know, AJ Brown's probably the one that I would look at and say, like, I still think he's a one. I still think he's a true alpha. He's produced, again, talking about Debo and AJ Brown being two guys that have produced multiple wide receiver one finishes over the past 4 years, the only guys in that tier. Like, those are the only two that are kind of stepping up into that. And I think people are a little bit down on AJ Brown right now. It's just kind of how it feels. He's just getting pushed down the board by Garrett Wilson, Marv, Puka. I mean, shoot, like, Neighbors is right there with him. So he's the one I would probably look at that's in that next tier, not necessarily getting a Tyreek Hill that I'd probably look to grab. And then continue to fill with some of these other up-and-coming names that haven't produced yet, you know, whether you're looking at Drake London's in the fourth, DJ Moore, he's had some, you know, recent success. Yes, there's going to be Keenan Allen in the picture, but you're just looking at that kind of range of young players that have ADV. And the reason why I'm looking at that, and the big thing to think of, and this isn't for you, me and you talking, but for you as listeners, get out of your mindset that, like, what you draft is what you're going to play with week one. It's like the most common mistake that I see people making is, like, they draft a player and they're like, all right, I'm going to lock in Romo Odunze into my wide receiver two slot. And it's like, that, yeah, he's your wide receiver two in the draft, but, like, you drafted him for the value. You drafted him for the artificial dynasty value that is Romo Odunze until he steps foot on the field and proves you either right or wrong. So you have these players that can still produce potentially on the field, but have that name cachet that you can turn around and move should you want to pivot to something else later. So that's kind of how I'd look to do it, is going early quarterback one, and then just kind of hammer two or three rounds of wide receivers in that top 24 range that people just love, and try to do that same kind of thing. Punting QB2, looking at, you know, I mean, shoot, Deshaun Watson's in the sixth round. You got Bryce Young, Kirk Cousins in the seventh round. You know, you still have Will Levis, Matt Stafford in the eighth. A lot of actual starting QB2s all the way into the 12th round with Derek Carr, Geno Smith, and Russell Wilson. So you have starters that are down the board that you can still backfill with.
And I'm going to go right from the two wide receiver build that I kind of started with here. And I'm going to start, I think the way that I'm going to do this, and this is win now from a startup build, the best way that I can figure out how to crack that code right now, I'm just going to fade quarterback even more. I'm not even going to play with one locked in guy. I'm going to go full auction strategy, and I'm just going to punt both of these guys down into like quarterback 16, quarterback 17 range. Just keep punting it down the board. And so after two, probably hammer wide receivers, hope that there's something in that third round, like what ADP is currently telling me that I could get, of maybe a Jonathan Taylor, Kyren Williams, Travis Etienne, one of those guys. Hopefully, if it's one of our leagues, maybe a Gibbs, McCaffrey, Breece Hall, or Bijan could slip there, and I'd be a little bit happier with that. But I'm going to go and probably and just try to go hammer RB there, and then it's just going to go right back into the wide receiver. And I'm truthfully just going to play punt quarterback. I'll probably try to actually pay up a little bit higher at the tight end position, get one of these guys that we're currently seeing going around the Sam LaPorta, Trey McBride, Kincaid Pitts range. And even if you want to go in and you want to really go in for that win now build, I'm fine going into the Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce for one more year too. But I'm going to just lean into this full quarterback punt build. And I think it correlates really well with the new way that we've been kind of building out all of these quarterback rooms. And Scott's been mentioning it, talking about the strategy a lot over the offseason. And I've kind of flirted with this strategy, but I've never gone as fully off the deep end as Scott has gotten me to go with it now. But build, like, okay, have your two quarterbacks and build nine other backups behind it. And just grab all of these high leverage backups whenever you do get into these ranges where typically you're taking like just these dart throw running backs that we've done. I mean, who do you want? J.K. Dobbins or Aiden O'Connell on this current ADP board that I'm seeing go off the board back to back?
How dare you make a tough decision?
I'm sorry I picked that name for you. We can probably pick something else.
No, but the point stands. The point stands there. Like, obviously, like, Aiden O'Connell could have the opportunity to start and be the starter for, you know, significant weeks, and J.K. Dobbins doesn't have a team. So, yeah, like, and I get your point there. And I think that that's the way to do it. Maybe when I'm talking QB2s in the sixth, seventh, eighth round, even then, that's probably a little early. Like, honestly, guys, we've looked at this board. Like, if I took a top eight quarterback early in the draft, I'd happily go into the 12th round and take myself a Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Russell Wilson, you know, just kind of pile up with them. Even, you know, getting an Aaron Rodgers in round 10. Like, you have some of these guys that you can just backfill with that are starters, first of all. So those guys are starters. But then you can go in and fill up with anyone and everyone in round 16, 17, 18, and beyond. Just to continue to, again, add depth to that position. But best ball, it does make it a little tougher depending on the roster constraints that you may have in your leagues. That's kind of where you have to draw a line at some point. It's like, all right, do you want to roster seven quarterbacks in a best ball, eight quarterbacks, nine, 10 in a best ball, or a lot of them could be zeros early on? Yes, they could pop and hit for you, but that's the big thing is it going to pay off? Statistically, 60 quarterbacks starting every year says yes, it will. But when and can you afford to eat those zeros for that time being?
And even if your quarterbacks do fail, like those are the ones where you can put those guys back in, or you can flip them for additional value. But I think even going forward, once you go past this win now build, and this kind of gets back into how, like, we've tried to just keep churning through this wide receiver upper tier market and keep, you know, flipping our back end first to go back into another year of Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. That's typically how we've been running these win now rosters back to back years. If we still have draft capital and anything like that, or young players that are ascending that you can flip into those pieces, that's typically how we've been keeping these rosters going. But let's say now that I have this core of really young wide receivers that I can actually build around that I've hit extremely hard through the first two rounds, three rounds, four rounds. Well, now what do I have that I actually need to build out the rest of my roster with? And that's quarterback. And let's go into what the whole conversation has been this year of what the draft strategy is now shifting to within this wide receiver market is going with the wide receiver over the quarterback. And if I can zig that zag, then going into future years, then I can maybe start to take some shots on the quarterback later down the line, even if it's guys later in the draft. If this build doesn't work out year one, I think you're still so insulated with these wide receivers that I can find the quarterback later. It's not even about taking him in the draft over the wide receivers, but I can find the quarterbacks later along the line, or just keep doing this replacement level backup strategy and find my quarterbacks that way. I think building around this, like, I'm going to lean into this young core of wide receivers that have shown us what they have over these first couple of years in their league or in the league. And I'll ride them as long as they keep producing, because I don't think anybody's really pushing them out of the way, but you never know. We've seen wide receivers fall off year over year. I mean, at one point, Juju Smith-Schuster was like a wide receiver one overall in Dynasty, right? But these guys have a little bit of a different feeling, a little bit of a different sticking power to them, and the fact that they have consistently done it now for 2 to even 4 years.
Yeah, so as you're talking this through, and again, we'll get into the auction side of this and some other kind of thought-provoking things as well, but you know, if you did take, let's say you got yourself a Lamb and a Puka, you know, or got yourself a Chase and Amon-Ra type of situation. So you got two of the top four. You have flexibility at that point to still take shots. Yes, you can still draft some young guys. People love, you know, Tank Dell, Rashee Rice, Smitty still, Zay Flowers. I'm good. Like, I think that those are still some very good players, very good names. But if you have two core wide receivers already built out, like, you can take those shots on Mike Evans and Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs in the seventh round. Like, you give yourself flexibility with your roster where if those names do die out, you're not completely dead in water. Like, I've doing this, you and I both have, doing this for a while now and drafting like this. I've had teams, you know, again, get either hurt, and maybe the value of the players didn't die, but like all it took is a few injuries or a couple players then dying out as well. And you're a bottom four team and you're like, what happened to my win now build? But if you're insulated with some high end assets, again, you mentioned some of the other running back names in there as well. Running back has been kind of pushed down quite a bit. You can still get a lot of production. You can still find points as well and have a nice kind of combination build where you're not just completely stuck with these 29 plus year old players. So I do like that thought process there. I don't think there's a right way. I think that's the whole point of this, right? There's no right way yet that we know of. And I don't think that everything is really settled into place yet. Like, when you look at ADP, as we're looking at this now, I mean, it goes back to the conversation we started talking about last week and just kind of the conversations we've had offline. It just feels like there's a new age flat tier of wide receiver just coming in. And you see all of these names and you could say that, yeah, any of them could be a top 24 guy, but like, how many truly elite difference making players are there if these seven age out in the next year or two? And we're not seeing it yet because obviously we haven't seen these guys play, but it just feels like the board has not fully shaken out at wide receiver yet. And it's just the top four. And that's pretty much it right now. Maybe you go to five or six with Puka and AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, maybe, but he hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything to actually show, at least in terms of production over the course of an entire year that he's there. Now, obviously you're playing with Zach Wilson for your entire career. It's hard to do a lot of things whenever that's your quarterback. I fully understand it, fully get it. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at this list and everybody that we're trying to really target here is like 25 and a half years and younger. And now we're just supplementing so many more wide receivers and youth into this league. Some of these guys are going to break out and some of them could jump into this range, but it's going to get a lot harder and a lot in what you said. It feels like it's going to get a lot flatter. As I'm looking at this, I just have to sidetrack real quick because I didn't understand exactly how horrible it was whenever we were saying that there hasn't been a, okay, no, it's actually not as bad as I thought. But this one that sticks out to me, this nobody within the year of 1995 has ever had a top 12 season or that was born in 1995. Yeah. So from December 12th was Calvin Ridley to January 15th of 1996 was Deebo Samuel. And in that gap, we've never had one come into that range. It's just, it keeps sticking in my mind and I have to sidetrack us unfortunately for that. But let's see if we can go into trying to hit a little bit more of that range though, right? If can we find anybody who has that up and coming ability to really step up into that, like that role of like that 28 to 30 year old wide receiver. It hasn't been shown through top 12 finishes, but thankfully we do have tools like a Trinity tool, Trinity Tracker, that you can find on destinationdevy.com. And where do we love to play, Chase? Where do we love to play in that Trinity tool?
So as we're looking at this, and the one that we are specifically looking at is their Trinity score and their KTC value. So looking at this chart here, we live in the bottom right here. High Trinity scores, however, lower than average KTC value. So that's where we love to live. That's your Evans, your Adams, your Keenan Allens, Amari Coopers, Deontay Johnsons, all the names we've talked about, Diggs, Cup, Godwin. Like those are our people right there. And that tier is going to change very soon. So that's where we live, opposed to the opposite side of this chart.
And it's where we lived historically now, at least right. In my model of how I'm trying to build this win now roster, I'm probably going to go top right. Like, let's just find any way to get to the top right. Those high valued, high producing war assets. That's where we're really going to try to go, at least your high producing war assets are also going to overlap with your high Trinity score wide receivers as well. But I think in those middle round tiers where you're trying to really get somebody that could jump up into that next 28 to 30 year old window, there's still some names down here that I still have some interest in that haven't really ever done it. But there's a couple of guys in here that I really want to highlight. And that's potentially, I know it's gross names, but it could happen. They've gone through a lot in their first years within the league. So the names that I'm picking out here, they're going to be Terry McLaurin. It's Amari Cooper. Chris Godwin, although he was in the range there, he has already hit a top 12 season. But I think if Mike Evans were to ever move on, we could see Chris Godwin, who's just in that 28-year range right now. If he were to overtake, I think he might be able to do it as well. Jerry Jeudy's actually in that range that we really like. Could he potentially do an overtaking of, if Amari Cooper was the one to fall out of this range, could he be the one there? And if Mike Williams could ever stay healthy, looking at his points per game is actually absolutely wild. He in points per game and in Trinity, he's actually very, very good. But now he's always banged up and he's playing on MetLife turf. So I don't know if I can ever really buy into that one.
I've always struggled with Mike Williams. Like he had the one incredible year, but man, I don't know if I can buy into that. But yes, like when you're looking at that bottom corner, like Amari Cooper is the one that stands out to me as just being a guy that has produced top 24 seasons, you know, year over year. And I talk about this because, you know, DJ Moore was one that was given all of this grace period for years. And I know he's not in this age range that we're looking at yet, but he was given, you know, it's like, oh yeah, he had a 700 yard season. Oh, he's getting to 1,000. And he's just historically a, what was it? 1,104, like 1,100 yards, four touchdowns. And that's just what he was. He was a wide receiver too. Last year, he gets that opportunity, breaks out as a top 12 wide receiver, and finally he's kind of bumped back up. Amari Cooper has had, you know, really good seasons in the past, and I do think that he's a name that I feel like could give you a top 12 finish. It's just, again, it's just scary buying another 20. He's 29. Like, he's going to be 30 years old before we know it. And after we've talked about only six players have had their top 12 finishes at the age 30 or older, that's maybe not the name I really want at this point. You know, maybe I am looking at the Deontay Johnsons. I don't think I can go to Jerry Jeudy. I think I'm looking still a tier up. Like, I still think there's this young range, George Pickens getting an opportunity Like, and this is just the, these guys are like right at the line. We're not going to go far top right where we're talking Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka, AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson. Like, no point in talking about it. Of course you want those guys on your team. But like Brandon Ayuk, Michael Pittman, I mean, again, these guys still have some name cachet and some value. So you're still getting these guys as a, what, top 12 to, I'd say 12 to 16 range. Drake London is the hot name, of course, right now, jumping all the way up to wide receiver 10 in KTC. But maybe a Tank Dell, Nico, I think that those kind of names are at least a little bit more interesting. But again, it's a very fine line of trying to find some value. Maybe you take a shot on Debo. I struggle with that next year. I feel like, honestly, like I go to youth. When I look at this chart, I look at, you know, opportunity that's to come for a guy like Pickens. Maybe you just take the shot, right? Maybe you just take the shot on a Pickens. Maybe you take the shot on a DJ Moore. And yes, you're paying up and you might end up getting a wide receiver too, but can you live with that?
I think you got to be able to live with it. I mean, you're not going to build a full team that's probably going to be four or five deep of top 12 producing wide receivers anymore. It doesn't really seem like that's a feasible strategy unless you do just build it over the course of years and years of work almost. It's hard. It seems like you really can't feasibly do that right now, like we were able to do in just terms of production right out of the startup, just because of the way that it's going to happen, at least within a snake and even in an auction too. I don't think you're going to be able to divulge so much of the percentage of your assets into that to really get like three of the top five wide receivers right off the bat either.
So then let me ask you that. Let's move to auction. We've looked at some of the tiers here as we got onto the Trinity tracker and looking at the, you know, players versus their KTC value or their Trinity versus their KTC value. When we're looking at an auction, you have availability to get anyone and everyone, which is why we love auction. It allows you more roster flexibility, more creativity with your build, things like that. And obviously looking at a snake, you have more structure where you're kind of built into the ADP at that point, and you know, it makes it a little bit tougher. So auction wise, you know, we've tried to find the value quarterbacks, and maybe sometimes they're big names that slip through, and you know, you can get a Tua for cheap, or I mean Brock Purdy before he's Brock Purdy, like you take some shots on some of those guys at quarterback and it works out for you. But when we're looking at wide receiver, I mean, you're going to have to spend 10 to 15% of your budget on some of these, probably closer to 15% on like the top 12. What are you doing right now? Like, are you really wanting to allocate that kind of money? How are you pivoting? Because again, we play best ball. So yes, big names matter. But are you just going to buy a bunch of studs here?
And that's the issue for me, because truthfully, we do really only play whenever we're in auction formats, it's only best ball. I haven't done a single auction startup that's not best ball, probably won't ever do it. So if you do play that format, apologies, but that's probably not what you're looking for here. And you probably play in mostly DD leagues and around this type of community that does typically play that way. So we're going to talk about it in that format. So I think I'm gonna lean into more of the same thing, man. Like we play on this crusty quarterback, this floater range of quarterback build a lot, because you can buy like four of them for the price of a half of a one, typically, if you were to go into a Mahomes or something like that. And that's been pretty successful in the way that we built these teams. But the difference is that we've been able to build depth at the wide receiver as well with high producing assets too. And that's where I don't know. I honestly do not know how you're going to do this within an auction format with top 12 producers, because if you do try to do that and go into, let's say, two high-end wide receivers as well, where do the rest of your funds allocate to? Because then you're already at about maybe 50 to 60% of your budget, and we're talking about you have two wide receivers and your quarterback room under lock. And that's not really enough to build out enough depth in the production depth that we've really leaned into, because of the discounts, even more so, it feels like when you're in auction, because you can get three to four of those top seven guys that we've been talking about that have now aged out into that 30-year and older range. You were able to get so much depth with them because they were still discounted so heavily in terms of price. You can't do that whenever you're spending $300 total to get both Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And this year it's even more. Now that's like $400 or 40% of your $1,000 budget to try to get to those guys. It's a completely different market. And honestly, it sounds disgusting. But I think the only way you do it is you do the same floater quarterback and you build through high-end RB. I think that's the only way you do it. And it sounds god-awful, horrifying, gross, because I don't like to do it. But to truly win now, I think it's about your only way. Obviously, dependent upon format. Typically in these, we play in a pretty crazy level of formats for talking about DD leagues here in most of them. And they're going to have your point per carries, your wild quarterback scoring. We're try to get to an even war distribution typically. I think the only way with the discounts that are currently happening right now in terms of the amount of fantasy points per game that you can attribute to your team for the price that you can, I think it's through running back, but it's scary as hell.
Ray, Scott, Brian, if you have made it to 45 minutes in still and you haven't figured it out yet, like, we need a startup ASAP. I'm fiending right now as we talk this out. I need to put some of this into practice immediately. So let's get a Heisman League roll in here. Let's get something started. I need one in the worst way. Because yes, like I want one of the top four. I think if I was going to build in an auction, I'm gonna build very similarly to kind of what we've talked about. I'm down to trade and get myself into the range of quarterback where we normally play, but I'd like to buy a top eight, top nine quarterback, even if I'm getting myself a Herbert at a decent price, and then just fade into the abyss with my Russell Wilson love, my Matthew Stafford love, because I think that those guys are going to be the true values in auctions. Still build that way because it gives me tradable assets. Gives me valuable players that I can move. Again, this is, I'm not building in an auction, especially. I do not have to build my team right away. I want to get some resemblance of structure built out. I want to have some pieces in place. That's kind of what I'm looking at quarterback and wide receiver. I want to do the same kind of thing. Give me a top four guy. If I locked up a Jefferson, a Chase, a Lamb, an Amon-Ra, it helps, first of all, give me a tradable asset that people absolutely love, but it also gives me a top 12 scoring player, likely based on their historical, you know, performances. I'm pretty much locking in one. And then I can go down into, maybe I can get Tyreek on the cheap. Maybe I can get myself, you know, I mentioned George Pickens and being a number one. Like I'm happy to fill in with as many top 40 wide receivers as I possibly can get. And I think that that's how I would build, and I can find running back later. I can trade for running back, because the problem that I have with going after running back is typically in leagues that we play in, the most expensive there, the high end running backs get is in the auction. As soon as we're done with the auction, no one wants to value those players for what you just paid for that $120 Bijan Robinson. No one wants to pay that. It's like, yeah, that's like a first plus, like, I'm good. I'll go buy Saquon. I'll go send that second round pick and go get Alvin Kamara. Maybe you can even buy Alvin Kamara still. Like all of those players are still going to be, you know, readily available. And again, talking about our old crusties, like, you can still build an old crusty running back room theoretically as of this very moment. Some of those guys are still alive, but it could change just like that with the drop of a hat. That could change as well. So we're at a very weird spot in fantasy where we're focusing a lot on the wide receiver today and the aging out of some of those high performers. Running back has the same kind of concept. There is now a new core group that has started, and I think it's going to shift again next year. But that's how I want to go for it. I would give me seven or eight guys in the top 40 wherever I can get them, especially in best ball where I can get some major spike weeks. And if you look at spike week data, you can find yourself some high end performers. I don't want floor plays. I don't want to, you know, give me that consistent 14, 15 point guy. That's cool. Those are nice to have, but I want those 25s. I want those 30s. As Shane likes to say, I want those crooked numbers. Who can put up a crooked number for me? That's how I'm looking to build my wide receiver room. And I'll just backfill at running back there.
All that I'll say is good luck getting enough of those top 40 wide receivers when they're all going for $70 a piece this year. It's been horrifying watching some of these startups this year, man. I have participated in one outside of the dispersal one that we were in, which is going to throw a different wrinkle into it.
For sure. Yeah.
But the amount that people are spending even just on threshold wide receivers right now, I don't know if you can build the necessary depth required unless you are then backfilling it with another, you know, then you have to bet on the aging crusty wide receivers as well, because those guys are still discounted, but they could just be absolute zeros that we've talked about all night as well. And then you still have to build out a running back room. And typically we're playing in a high enough tight end premium format that you probably have to do a little bit there as well. I don't know. We play a lot of zig of the zag, or at least I try to play a lot of the zig of the zag. I think it might be running back this year for me, and I might just try to do it. But it feels horrible to my core to try to do it.
So like on that note, let's just kind of run with that one, because like if you build through elite running back, you get four guys, you feel, you know, four of the top six, you get a Breece, a Gibbs, an Achan, and I don't know, like a Kyren. So you got four guys there you feel really good about. Let's just say you got those. And we obviously know you said you're going cheap at quarterback. So when it comes to the wide receiver position, if you're passing, that's the thing. Is like, are you passing completely on the top four? Then are you going to try and just get two elite guys and then fill with some best ball dart throws? Like something's got to give with that as well. Where theoretically, you're either going to have to pay for a bunch of those mid range guys, or you're going to get a stud and then like hope to find something else.
Yeah. Give me somebody in like the top. If I can try to get me somebody in like the top seven, I'll hear a wide receiver it, and I will roster construct the absolute hell out of the rest of my team. Okay. Hopefully the deeper the lineup, the better for this. And I will just roster 20 to 25 wide receivers.
I like that.
And like because the wide receiver spike weeks, especially the shallower the lineup is, that I only need maybe like five of the wide receivers to hit on a week. Now there's no intrinsic value held in this team. Like it's going to look god awful. And truthfully, as heavy as this leans to of a 1 year window, I'm even more inclined to actually go back into those Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins guys, because man, this thing is going to be looking like 1 year build. At least with the running backs and how we're viewing them right now, I think you have to go like so hard into it to really build a true win now roster. But I think that's the only way that you can really crack this thing. At least as it's going through my mind right now. And I've been trying to run through this one for about a week, and I have had nothing better than what I'm saying right now.
I mean, this is, and just as a reminder to everyone, we're just talking this through. We had an idea of the topic, but we were just talking this through because this is important to us. Like, you know, in terms of how we typically play, how we build, I feel like, you know, it definitely is changing, because it used to be an area where you could still find cheap value as well as points. People may not have valued them as highly, but now we're reaching that point where that value is essentially getting to that point of gone, or could disappear completely this upcoming year because of age cliffs, and we have a plethora of wide receiver talent coming in this year. Next year there's some very good names as well. Like we're going to see a changing of the guard very soon at that position. And, you know, and as much as we talk about the 2017 class at running back, that will eventually change as well. But I think we're starting to see some of this new age stuff. And that's where, like, I think the way that I'm going about building a win now is not the same. I used to want to draft it and used to, because it was easy to do. It was easy to draft and I'd still have some value. But now I'm happy to draft the ADV, that artificial dynasty value, or I'm happy to draft the likability factor of a player, or even just the high valued asset, and move it into what I want so that I can still maintain some value. And maybe that's how I should have been playing this entire time, but it was just easy. Like people made it too easy in startups to just like, all right, build a monster. It's like, okay, give me 28 year olds and plus, and I'll have some fun. Like It'll be a great time. So I do think that it's changing the way that I think about these drafts, how I want to acquire those assets, because I do still want some of them. I still think that some of these guys are going to produce, but it also keeps it fresh in my mind of how I want to pivot and kind of how I want to build my actual roster, not necessarily through my startup anymore.
I think going back to that earlier conversation where I went probably a little bit too wild, maybe a little bit too wild. I won't say probably, maybe a little bit too wild of a theory of trying to solve this thing. That thing that you just said there, though, I don't think I'm doing it anymore. Like, I don't think I'm building for the win now, 1 year, building 2 year win anymore. Okay. I don't think I'm doing it. I think I'm more, unfortunately, building out something that's probably just trying to get more elite assets and then trying to middle it with not very much depth for a year or two and then kind of take the thing into what ended up being like the Rumble team that was able to win this year, where it just goes into a little bit more of that like 1 to 2 year rebuild around some really central assets and then build out the depth behind it. Because right now I unless it appears to you whenever you're in your auction, and every auction's different, every league is different, every draft room is different whenever 100%. You get there. It's a way more wild format than you can realistically predict a snake draft to be, and which is why we love it, is because it does make the challenge that much more difficult. But I don't see the path of just mapping this thing out in my head in terms of prices to build a team that's going to be deep enough, especially in the best ball formats that we play within our auction drafts.
Yeah, man, it's quite the conundrum that we have right now. I mean, I'm sure Ty, big shout out Ty DeClaire, he's been doing the trade articles for a while. He's now doing the trade show with Ray on Destination Debbie YouTube. So do check that out. Did he send you his team that he built over this weekend with Barry's community? And kind of
I
like
do believe that I saw that one. It's not going to ring in my head as I think I saw it.
I pulled it up
in my head.
But. I pulled it up because he literally was like, tell me this isn't a Cody and Chase build. And so he built this because everyone else in that startup isn't necessarily in Destination Debbie's community, which is great. You want different perspectives. You want to play with different minds. Sharp people. But he's able to get Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott. Running backs were Rashad White, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, Raheem Mostert, Tyler Algier, Tank, Zeke, a couple other names. Wide receiver, Puka, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen. He's still able to backfill with some young, A.D. Mitchell, got DeMario Douglas, Roman Wilson. So definitely some other guys in there that could pan out. Then Trey McBride. And that's pretty much it. I'm not sure if this is lineup, didn't get the full context of this. Oh, wait, sorry. It is 12 by 12, 12 team, start 12, best ball. So has some good players, but he's like, tell me this isn't a Cody and Chase team. Value-wise, definitely taking a hit. And, just again, since this is a completed auction, and sorry, Ty, for throwing your team out here and anyone in this league, just wanted to kind of talk this out because this is a build that we typically would have. And it just looks awesome on paper, sounds awesome as you read it off, but then you're just like, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, Raheem Mostert, Keenan Allen, Tay Adams.
It's the 1 year build, man.
It is.
You know what always will keep bringing me back to this, though? Somebody has to win year one.
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody has to win year one. And why can't it be me? So let's go right back in.
I mean, and it's going to be tough. I'm absolutely, just because we have the ability and we're in multiple leagues, we have the ability to have that flexibility to still run it back. Let's just stick with the guns and see if we can still find a bunch of those aging players, but also build around maybe a Puka, build around a Jamar Chase, build around some of these guys that still have some value that you can trade, move around. But it's scary. Like, I mean, I look at some of my teams and I'm like, man, this could be a monster this year where I run it back, or this could be the year it falls apart. So, there's definitely some opportunity to make trades. There's still some value with these players. We're not sitting here saying that the value of these players is dead, but it's not getting any higher today or tomorrow than it is today. The value is where the value is. You might get a slight bump for some of these aging guys, like once the season starts and they're healthy and on field. But that's it. Like, it's a minuscule bump.
gone might even be the days of, even if they're producing like a wide receiver one, that you can even pull a back end first anymore.
I challenge that, because we saw this year Keenan Allen going for first. In the season, it was happening. I get the sentiment, because it could be gone for some of these guys, for sure. It could be gone. And with the young guys coming into the league, this new crop, I mean,
it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for a lot of these guys to keep it up. I hope we do, because obviously we got a lot of teams and a lot of capital invested into these guys that are doing it.
Gonna lean into that productive struggle that we've hated forever.
Time to burn it to the ground.
it does make us think differently about it. I mean, if you think about your Rumble team, and again, just kind of going off here, like year one, you did not build total win now. You had some win now assets. You made some moves to still accumulate value, but in the end, you built around a core, and then you were able to acquire those assets as well. So there's different ways to do this. And again, it's not just through what you got in the startup is what you got. But year one, a lot of times, if you're drafting the Adams, the Cups, the Diggs, the Camaras, the Derrick Henrys, like, you know what you're shooting your shot for. You know what you're going after. And it's going to be really hard to obtain those players, because the guy that drafted them or the girl that drafted them did it for a reason. So,
correct. Unless it starts to fall apart, there's not much pivoting that you can really do. Always say your team isn't solidified at the draft. You're not going to get to the end of the year with the team that you built. But whenever you lean into that year one, go all for it. Win now with some aged wide receiver build. That's basically what you got to do right now. And I don't know if that's the way I'm going to play anymore going forward. So, death of the wide receivers that are going to change the entire fantasy landscape as we have known it for the past 4 years.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys sticking with us for an hour at this point. We just rambled is what it felt like, in a way. We talked about everything. We went over some data and things like that, but this was truly just thoughts in head, bringing them out and kind of running through some different things. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions, because we don't have the answers. And I don't think we will know the answers until the season's rolling around. So when we actually find out what is happening, but we'd love to hear some bets that people are making, ways that they're kind of combating this, and really what everyone's thoughts are around the new win now formula for startups. But yeah, man, this was fun. I really did enjoy it. Any last things before we run out?
Only thing that I'll say, all the viewers out there, if you've got that idea for the newest version of that format, please, by all means, hit me up, because I would love to talk through it as we talk through it here tonight in more detail and different ways, different strategies that you could possibly do it, either snake or auction format. Auction, I actually like talking through a little bit more, obviously, as we kind of discussed here. Yep. I love talking through any of these things. And if you want to do that person to person, you can do that over there in that Heisman VC, patreon.com/allgas. Get into that Heisman DTI 5 tier. You can chat with us literally all night long after we get off of work and talk about how to build the next win now strategy.
Yeah. Theory, strategy, startups, all sorts of fun stuff. If you're going through them and you just want to talk it out, that is the place to be. But yeah, I would love to hear people's thoughts, because the game is changing. I feel like there's a lot of things shifting in the fantasy landscape. So jump in there, chop it up. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Overreaction Podcast.